Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad you could join me today for our Explore and Play at the Studios coaching hour and class. Today we're going to be talking about super simple self-coaching. And I wanted to talk about this particular topic specifically today because, you know, there are so many things going on this time of year. It can get pretty overwhelming. And I wanted to teach a process that I use a lot and that you can use over and over again. And you can use it in a real wide variety of situations. So before we get into that, I would like you to take a moment to turn your attention to this call and set aside whatever it is that you were doing before and what it is you plan to do after the call. And just let your attention be here and be open to what happens. Feel free to ask questions, volunteer to be coached, whatever is going on for you, I would love to address on our session today. So to start with, I want to talk a little bit about my philosophy of coaching, which is that as you go through your days, you are doing things automatically, or there are times when you make more deliberate choices. And obviously, this is a gross generalization, but basically, things can be categorized in somewhere in one of those two ways. And then when within each of those things, it branches off again. For instance, with the things you do automatically, there's the things that you want to be doing, your quote-unquote good habits, and then the things that you're doing automatically that you don't necessarily want to be doing, your quote-unquote bad habits. And then with the things where you have choices, there too can be roughly two different ways that you make choices, where you are choosing, making decisions based on now and your current knowledge and criteria and things that are important to you now, or where you're making choices based on outdated or irrelevant information, you know, things that you learned long ago or things that are more sort of survival level or instinctual level where the criteria you're using to make a decision doesn't have so much to do with the current circumstances as something else that is perhaps tangentially related from long ago. And the reason I bring this up is all of these situations are places where you can use coaching. If you find yourself doing things automatically that you don't want to be doing, that's a great place to use this process or one of the other many techniques and processes that I've taught in these calls. If there's something that you want to be doing that you aren't doing, it's another great way. If you're finding that the choices you're making don't make sense to you, or you don't feel like you're really using current information to make your decisions, it's another great place to insert this process or something similar. So there's lots of places where you can use coaching in your life. It doesn't mean that there has to be a big problem or that things are falling apart or that there's some huge issue. It could just be where you notice some places in your life where things could go a little more smoothly. And the other part of that, and this is something that I really focus on a lot, are your feelings. And even though you may not feel like you have a lot of control over the circumstances in your life or in particular situations, at a minimum, you have control over how you feel, even when it doesn't seem like you do. There's always things you can do as you notice that you're feeling bad in some way, or when you recognize there are certain situations that trigger you. So again, there's just loads of areas throughout your day where you can try this process that I'm going to guide you through to change your responses, change your habits, to change your feelings. Because as far as I'm concerned, when you're feeling strong and resourceful, that's the most important thing. Everything else sort of pales in comparison to that. Because you can just imagine right now any situation that feels difficult to you. If you're feeling uncomfortable, upset, worried, anxious, any of those kinds of feelings, you can really get a sense of how your possibilities close down. Like what is available to you in that situation becomes much smaller. And then imagine if you're feeling strong and resourceful and capable in that particular situation, what becomes possible for you then? So just to start, that's a whole range of ideas of how you can use different coaching possibilities. And as I mentioned in my note today and on Facebook postings, it's really great if you're feeling overwhelmed or anxious or there's something that you want to be doing and you're not doing it. Those sorts of things. So let me just remind you, if you have any questions or want some guidance on a particular issue, I really want today to be open to anything that you want to talk about, anything you want to ask about, and anything you want to be coached on. So hit, I hope I get this right, 5-star. If it's not 5-star, try star 5 to raise your hand at any time, and I will unmute you, and you can ask your question. And you also, you don't need to give your name if you'd rather not, although if you want to, that's great too. So here is the process that I use myself and that I use frequently with my clients. And there are a lot of things that I do to coach myself, but this series of questions is always sort of my default, my fallback position. And you can go through this process, or rather your experience of this process may be very different from each other. And it may be different in different situations. You may notice your body sensations. You may notice emotions or feelings. You may be paying attention to your thoughts and may do it more intellectually or have pictures or visualizations. It really doesn't matter how you experience it because that's just how your mind processes the information. You don't need to try and do it a particular way. You can just let it happen however it happens. So the first question to ask yourself is, what's the situation? And you want one sentence. And it's a sentence that'll probably be something like, I want to do X, but instead I do Y, or when I think about X, I feel Y, something like that. You want to take the story out of the situation for now, and just boil it down to its essence. So that's the first thing. Then the second question is, why is this important to you? Why is the thing you want to be doing that you aren't doing important? What's the purpose? Why does it matter? You know, why does it matter that you get a particular feeling when you think about something? What is, like, the deep nugget of importance for you in that? And you're looking for, at this point, something that you want or is important to you, as opposed to something that you don't want or you're trying to avoid. That would be, you're looking for a toward motivation as opposed to an away from or an avoidant motivation. The third question is, when specifically does it happen? And I mean very specifically. You want to find the exact moment when you go from a place of feeling resourceful and having options to feeling like you don't have choices or triggered or however that you experience that situation. Now, to find that exact moment, you may need to either back yourself up in the situation step by step, or start when you're in picturing the situation or imagining the situation and moving forward to the point at which you hit the sticky spot. So find that exact moment. The next step is to imagine, how would you rather be? How would you like to be feeling? How would you like to be acting? How would you like to be responding? And at this point, the sky's the limit. You can feel anything you want to be feeling at this point. You don't have to even imagine that it's possible for you to be feeling it in that particular situation, but just imagine how you would rather be in that particular situation. And then the final thought is to actually imagine the situation with you having all those feelings, qualities, behaving the way you want to be, responding the way you want to be. And then practice it. Practice that scenario. Run through it. Practice the feelings. Practice the qualities. Practice the resources at that specific moment when it happens. And that practicing is really the most powerful part. Because your mind doesn't make a lot of distinctions between doing something in quote-unquote real life and running through it in your mind. So doing the practicing in your mind, having these feelings that you want to have, will change your perception of it. First of all, it'll change your perception of it in your memory, and it will change your perception of it when you experience it again in real life. So that is the basic outline of the process. Like I said, it's super simple. It's basically four steps and then rehearsing it or practicing it in your mind. So at this point, I would like to see if there are any questions. And then I would love to walk a few people through this and help you practice it on your own. So let me also check my email and see if I have any questions there. I would love to guide any of you through this. And I can also give you another a scenario of where I've used this with a client. So, for example, I had a client who was found herself snacking in the car. She drove a lot of miles and always felt like she needed to have a snack while she was in the car. And when she went through this process, the situation was whenever I'm in the car, I feel like I need to snack. Pretty straightforward. The next question, why is it important to you? So what's the purpose or why does it matter? That took a little more work because we had to figure out why it mattered to her that she was snacking. And what was important to her was that she was basically consuming too many calories. And she wanted to feel better. The snacking, you know, she wasn't feeling well snacking. She wanted to feel better by eating only when she was hungry and by being at a healthy, comfortable weight. So that was what was important to her. When specifically does this happen? While the actual act was happening in the car, it was clearly premeditated, we'll say. So she would, when she would think about being in the car, she would notice that her immediate reaction was to plan what snacks she was going to take because the car ride was going to be long and boring. So we found that specific time of when she thinks about the next car ride. And then we addressed how would you rather be? And what she really wanted wasn't so much to not snack in the car, but to be able to choose whether or not she ate and if she ate, what it would be, that she could choose healthy things if she did want to eat. So she considered how she'd need to feel to be able to choose. And she wanted to feel strong and healthy and resourceful and like she had a choice. And so she took all of that on, and then imagined going on a car, or that she was going on a car ride, and realized that when you're feeling strong and resourceful, you can make a different choice. And so she just practiced that until it became. It no longer was this automatic behavior, but instead she could choose each time. And it freed her up to feel good about what she was doing as opposed to feeling like she was this trigger and had to do it and had no choice. So I hope that gives you a little bit of an idea of one particular scenario where you could use this. And I would love to guide someone else through it. So go ahead and raise your hand, and then I'll unmute you. And you don't have to worry. I do it one at a time. So and I am checking my email again. To see if I have any questions. Okay, you are unmuted.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Darcy. I don't mind telling you my name.
Hi. How are you, Darcy?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So what's going on for you today? Do you have a question or something you want to be guided through?
Oh, I was going to let you use me as a guiding example because I have a thing that...
Oh, great.
Yeah. So right now it's just a single instance of this situation, but it is a recurrent situation. Whenever this situation comes up, I always struggle with it. So I need to mail some books to somebody. I told her I would mail her some books that I have. And I'm happy to mail them to her, except for apparently I'm not, because I hate mailing. So, and this happens repeatedly. Like, I have multiple other things that I need to send people, and it's like they need to get packaged up, they need to get taken to the shipping place, you know, whether it's the post office or UPS, and
right.
It does not happen, like, repeatedly.
Right.
So,
okay.
I was trying to go through the questions as you were going, but I was like, well, I'm not sure, but... So I thought, okay.
Yeah, because it's really easy to sort of get caught up in all the different parts of it.
Right.
So let's bring it back to, like, the smallest thing. So what's the situation in one sentence?
I have books to mail to my friend, and they're not getting mailed.
Okay.
I need to mail these books to my friend.
Right, and you're not doing it.
Right, and I'm not doing it.
Okay. And why is it important to you to mail these books to your friend?
Well, mostly because I said that I would, which is actually kind of where I'm, like, regretting. I'm like, why did I say that I would do this? I know that I hate things. So I'm kind of a little bit regretting that I said that I would, because it's hard to get myself to do it. I mean, it's very simple it seems very simple, but for some reason I have this huge block around mailing things. So.
Right, right. Well, we'll make sure that that gets taken care of before we're done here today. Because,
okay.
You know, you would love to, like, I mean, if you, like, get outside of the, like, the actual having to do it part, like, why do you want to give your friend these books?
Because I finished reading them. I know I won't read them again. She wants them and will enjoy them. And, you know, it's a nice thing to do. And, you know, technically it's not that hard of a thing to do.
Yeah, but we don't have to go there yet again.
Okay.
Because the real reason why you want to do this is it's a nice thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
I'd like to
it's
share.
Nice to
I have something,
pass these books on.
Yeah, I have something that I don't need and had been planning to kind of give away anyhow, and then a specific person, I was just going to give them away to somebody who I could, like, pan them to, but then somebody
right.
I know who lives far away said, oh, I'm looking for these books, and I was like, well, I have them, and I'm looking to give them away, so I'll pop them in the mail, you know, and that was like 2 weeks ago.
Right. Okay, but so, I mean, like, the bottom line is that it's nice to be able to pass something along.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's, like, that's really sort of the motivation, and then the other stuff gets in the way.
Well, it's both the niceness and the honoring my commitment. I mean, that's the other piece that's, like, really important. I mean,
right.
Nice is great, but at this point it's more about honoring my commitment. I said I would,
right.
So I need to
right.
do it.
Well, and that puts, like, a whole other layer on it, because if you could have just handed the books over, you would have handed the books over.
I would have, yeah. They would already be.
Yeah, like, right. So then it's like this other part of it, the mailing part brings up the other stuff. So let's look at when specifically, in this case, have you had the opportunity to mail them or recognize that you wanted to get that done and didn't do it?
Yes. I mean... The thing is there's also, like, stages. So first there's packaging it so that it's ready to go. Then there's...
Right, but so there's all of that stuff, but it's what I'm curious about is when specifically have you thought about doing it and then I'm guessing chosen to do something else?
Well, I had planned to do it originally when I was going to go to a doctor's appointment that takes me near the post office, like two or 3 weeks ago. But then unexpectedly a friend called and said, would you like to have breakfast? And so I said, yes, I would like to have breakfast with my friend. And because of the way the schedule worked out that day, I didn't do it because, like, I got, like...
You didn't have time.
I didn't have time to get it packaged
right.
up first. Had they already been, like, packed and ready to go, I could have done everything.
Right.
They weren't,
right.
like, ready to go.
Right.
So I was going to have to scramble around and find, like, an envelope and an address and yada yada.
Right. And so when recently have you had the opportunity to do it or thought of it and didn't do it?
I was going to do it on my way to the doctor's, but my appointment got moved, and so, like, it was supposed to be today, and now it's not going to be till Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So the next opportunity coming up to go to the same doctor's that's near the post office is
uh-huh.
2 days. And, like, what, you know, I had another doctor's appointment, but it was, like, scheduled at the last minute. She's like, you could come right now. So, again, I had to go right that second, and
right.
I couldn't package up the books first.
Right.
I know
right.
I sound like I'm making all these excuses. I'm, like, listening to myself saying these things, being like, this is ridiculous, but this is what keeps happening.
It's just what happens, because I imagine what happens is that you think about doing it, and then, like, you picture this whole ordeal of having to
yeah.
find the stuff to package it, getting the address, and putting it all together, and having to go to the post office, and what if there's a line, and la, 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 and you have to get
yeah.
to your appointment. And so then it's, like, this big, huge thing.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So specifically, that seems to be an opportunity comes up where you're going to be by the post office. You consider doing this, and then either circumstances change or you, like, get sort of overwhelmed by the whole thing and it doesn't happen.
I think it's that I'm not prepared, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
when I'm going to be at the doctor's office, which is near the post office, I'm not ready for that yet. Like, I'm not prepared ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's this... Sorry.
Right. Right. So if you were prepared, it would make that next step easier.
Right. So maybe the when it happens is when I, you know, walk around and think, oh, there's those books, and I keep not putting them in the, you know...
Yes, exactly. That's the specific moment, because the first step is getting them prepared. And so, you know, where there have been these situations that would take you close to the post office, there were other things that need to happen in advance.
Right.
So you see the books, and then you think about all the stuff that happens, and then you don't do it.
Right.
It's, like, too much. Okay? So that's specifically when it happens. And there are other things that probably trigger it. Like, you think, oh, I'm going to be by the post office, and then you probably picture in your mind the books, and then that whole thing starts again.
Yeah.
So it's really the point at which you kind of lose your free will and free choice about taking care of the books is when you think about preparing them to be mailed.
Yeah.
Think about packaging them.
Yeah, because I'm a little bit at a loss, like, well, can I just stick them in this kind of envelope, or is that sturdy enough? Do I need a
right.
box? Do I have to go to the
right.
attic? There's, like, yeah, that's when I shut down, is when I
yep.
when I
yep.
go to package them up. That's where
so
the
even,
breakdown happens.
Yep. Yeah, so even, you know, these opportunities where you've been close to the post office, they were really not
no, they weren't
true
opportunities
because
no.
the all the other stuff hadn't happened yet. Like,
right.
you're, like, shutting down way before that.
Yes.
So now we know specifically when it happens. And I'll tell you, and I'll let everyone else on the call know, that is often the most difficult part of this process, is getting to specifically when it happens.
Yeah.
And that's key because, you know, if we stayed with the, like, why didn't you take it to the post office, you would already be too far gone, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So now we know when it happens. And then
but
now,
it's not like a specific moment. It's like it's happening all the time. It's every moment that I'm not packaging them up. So that's why I get a little confused of, like, when it's happening. Or do you just mean, like,
yeah.
what the event
well,
is?
Well, it's like, what's the trigger?
Okay.
Yeah, and depending on the kind of thing that we're working with, it could be you know, sort of a singular event, or it could be like this, where there are a lot of different opportunities for you to kind of experience that trigger. Either you physically see the books,
right,
or something reminds you and you see the books in your mind, or, you know, you see your friend's name come up on Facebook or something and you're like, oh God, I need to send those books. You know, any of the, any myriad things could trigger this.
Okay. Okay.
But
so it's not necessarily a when as a, it's not always only a when. It can also be like a what.
Yeah. And it's a, it's, yeah, it's sort of a when slash what question.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually ask when only because putting it to a specific instance where this happened helps people discover it a lot of times.
Got it.
Okay. So now is the much more fun part. How would you rather be? How would you rather feel?
I would rather feel like this is easy and completely simple, and I just do it with no, you know, I just do it easily and happily and efficiently and quickly and just get it done.
And so what qualities would you have as a person to be able to do it easily and simply and happily and get it done?
My mind goes completely blank at that question.
So there are probably other things that you do simply and easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how do you feel when you do those things?
I just feel like I'm in charge of them. You know, like the first thing that pops to mind when you say that is like my library books. I have no problem staying on time with, on top of getting my library books. You know, renewed, returned, picked up, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I just, it's like a non-issue. What are the qualities? I just feel like I'm on top of it. It's easy. I'm easy to do. Like I have complete mastery over this task, this routine, feeding task.
And so you know what that feels like when you have complete mastery over the task.
Yeah.
Like you're on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're in charge.
Mm-hmm.
It's just easy. And as you're feeling all of that now, see those books that need to be sent. And you're on top of it. You have mastery over that task.
Okay, that's a little harder to imagine, but I'm trying.
Yeah. But just, and it might also help if you sort of shrink down and lower the picture of those books to be sent.
Yeah. You know, I just thought of a huge piece. A huge piece just popped into my mind. The place where I keep the shipping materials, there's a bunch of junk in front of that closet. That's like there's a huge physical barrier to me making packaging these books up easy. Like multiple physical barriers, because there's also boxes in the attic. Well, there's a bunch of stuff stacked in front of the attic door that needs to go up. So there are huge physical obstacles to this that I wasn't even thinking of.
So it's really, I mean, it's like in a weird, twisted sort of way, your mind was protecting you from dealing with this other stuff that you didn't want to deal with. It really doesn't have anything to do with the book.
No, it doesn't, but it's like a good several hours worth of work to make it so that shipping the books is something that I have, like, easy routine mastery over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's shipping whatever, do you know what I mean? Like, any kind of
stuff,
like, that kind of stuff is just, it's not set up well. So this is something that I can address from another angle, you know, the whole physical piece. Like, you're helping me with the internal piece, and it's pointing out to me that part of it, you know, part of it is internal. I just hate going to the post office. They're rude. They're not rude everywhere. They're rude at ours. Ours are, like, notoriously rude. Like, people all are, oh, yeah, we've heard that about where you live. Like, it's really bad. Like,
that's too bad.
It is.
Because I love my post office.
See, I know. And I've had other people who are like, what? They're great there. I'm like, yeah, you don't go to mine. They're not very nice. So this is really helpful. I can keep in mind the, you know, imagining it as easy as library books. And the physical piece as well.
Yeah, and I would encourage you to keep that feeling of, you know, having mastery over the task of clearing out those spaces to make it more accessible for you in the future.
Oh, that's
and
a good point.
Because, yeah, so, you know, whenever you have to do anything that you're reluctant to do, having mastery over that task, feeling on top of it, is going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, for any kind of task kind of thing, is going to be your go-to, like, quality. Like, imagining yourself in that position and how would you do the task knowing that you have mastery over it.
Right.
And so, and I know because it's part of what's really important to you about mailing these books is the commitment to doing it,
mm-hmm.
that it may be useful for you to consider if there's another way to get it done sooner than you might be able to if you do like a whole closet reorganization or, you know,
oh,
have
yeah.
to put away
yeah.
all
I mean,
the
I
stuff
can, now that
the
I
closet
know,
first.
Yeah, now that I know, I can at least just get this one package, you know.
Right.
That's like mentally holding me back, and I can just, you know, spend 15 minutes, like, you know, doing a quick, you know,
uh-huh.
targeted mission, you know, just to get the one thing that I need.
Right.
One thing.
right. Yeah. So now when you consider mailing the books, how are you feeling?
Well, it's funny because I'm not even thinking about mailing them. I'm just thinking about the getting them ready to mail and then trusting
mm-hmm.
that the mailing them is not the problem part. Like, I don't have a problem with
right.
mailing stuff. I apparently have a problem with packaging stuff and, like, reframing the problem for myself as being a packaging problem and not a mailing problem. It's actually
uh-huh.
huge because I have a lot more control over that.
Right.
So
great.
I think I feel better about it because I'm not thinking about the mailing. I'm just thinking about the packaging.
Uh-huh.
So I'm focusing my
uh-huh.
energy and attention, like, where it actually needs to be.
Right.
That's
and so, and when you think
is.
About the packaging now, Darcy, how do you feel about it?
I feel much better about it. I think, I can think in my mind, I think, oh, I think there's what I need in this spot in the attic, and then I can just quickly, easily,
mm-hmm.
just boop, get up there, get it done, you know, get the thing. And
right.
And I could also just be like, screw all of that, take the books like raw to the post office and just buy a darn
mm-hmm.
box. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Another option as well, which might just be worth it. Because then I could just
yeah.
like literally hang up the phone when we're done at the end of this call and just get in the car and go do
it. Yeah. Like, how great would that feel, right?
It might be pretty good. I might have to go that route. I might have to splurge.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. All right, you are unmuted.
Thanks. This is Liz. How are you?
I'm good, Liz. How are you doing?
Good. So this is actually, I'm loving this because I'm having a stuck thing about getting my holiday letter written.
Mm.
And this is a recurring problem.
Oh, yeah. Every year, right?
Every year. And so I did a little processing around it so far this year, and so I've got a little better take on things about, you know, kind of where the hang-ups are.
Uh-huh.
I'm loving this process here, I think, is, you know, definitely another piece of the puzzle.
Okay. So do you want to go through it or?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So what's the situation in one sentence?
So the situation is that I want to write and send a holiday letter to my friends and family, and I'm not writing it.
Okay. And why is it important to you? What's your purpose doing it?
Because staying connected to people that I don't see all the time is important to me. These are people
mm-hmm.
that I love and care about, and I presume love and care about me, and it's, you know, one of the few
uh-huh.
ways that I keep in touch with a lot of them.
Uh-huh. So, and how do you feel when you're staying in touch with people you know and love and care about?
Well, I feel connected, and I feel loved, and I
yeah.
feel, you know, part of an extended community, family, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So
like, that connection is really important, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, it is.
All right. So when specifically do you have the opportunity to write it and you don't do it?
Well, so just this weekend, I took myself to the coffee shop and I thought to myself, okay, self, we are going to write this holiday letter today.
Uh-huh. And what did you do instead?
Well, there might have been some Facebook involved.
Oh, yeah.
There might have been some eavesdropping on other people's conversations at the coffee shop. There was some brainstorming, you know. And I started it. You know, I kind of got some thoughts jotted down.
Uh-huh.
And then there were like these sort of like these little monster voices that were, you know, saying competing things to me. One of them is saying, "Oh, you know, you haven't done anything important or interesting. Nobody wants to hear about your life." And then the other one would chime in, "You can't tell people you went to Cancun this summer. People will be jealous. People will think you're, you know, blah, blah, blah." And, you know, "You can't tell people about that because they'll think blah, blah, blah." So, right? Because I can hear this, you know, little monster cacophony in my head.
Right, and then it's like you're so far gone you can't write it, and you're not
right, exactly.
You're gonna be writing it anyway. Like who wants
exactly?
To
it's like, and that's when Facebook looks really good.
Yeah, exactly. Because on Facebook you find a little connection.
Right, because there's like, you know, maybe a little hint of connection there. Exactly.
Yeah. So you're like, so what you're using to distract yourself is an attempt to try to get what you really want, which is connection.
Right.
So, okay, so now we know when it happens. And here's the fun part. How would
Yay.
You rather be? Yeah. How
well,
would you rather
I would,
feel?
I would rather feel, you know, connected to the people that I'm thinking about writing to.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'd rather feel that sense of, hey, this is me telling you a little bit about my life. And, you know, I'd love to hear something about your life, but, you know, people do different things about that. So that's, you know, but it's really like, hey, let me tell you a little bit about my life this last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what's it feel like when you're sharing from that place?
Part of it's good, but but it also does feel a little bit scary because there's like, you know, what are people going to think? Are they going to think I'm bragging? Are they going to think I'm lame? Are they going to think lovely? You know, it sort of toggles back and forth between those two things.
Right.
And
you know, it's completely possible that people are going to have different reactions.
Right.
And you still want to do it because you want that connection.
Right. Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
So when you have that connection, what's possible for you?
Well, then it's easy. Then it's just like, hey, let me tell you. And it doesn't feel hard or icky or like it doesn't feel like I'm bragging. It doesn't feel like I'm, you know, downplaying. It's just like, hey, you know, this is what we've been up to. And,
right.
you know, these are
right.
some of the fun things we did. And these are some of the, you know, let me brag on my kid a little bit. And
And so what does it feel like in your body when you have that sense of connection?
Well, it's kind of open and relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And just think about it for a second. Like there's not a lot of tension.
Right.
And there's also not a lot of attachment to what somebody else will think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they want to wad it up and throw it in the trash, okay, fine.
Right.
But, you know, like I don't really get bent out of shape about that.
Right, because, you know, you've done your part of connecting with someone.
Right.
Creating
right.
that connection. And so as you're, like, feeling that now, that kind of open feeling of connection, you're sitting in that coffee shop and you're going
mm-hmm.
to write your letter and you're feeling that connection.
It's funny because I think I mean, it's a little bit like when people talk about, you know, copywriting for sales pages or whatever, like, you know, write to one person. Like, you know, there are a couple people that when I think of, I can go, oh, okay. You know, like so-and-so will be happy to hear whatever I say.
Right.
You know, she just loves me. And
yeah,
she won't think I'm being obnoxious. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's when I think about certain other people. I mean, I'm thinking about one person. It's interesting because part of the, you know, when specifically, it's sometimes it's when I think about this one particular person. It's like, oh, what's, you know, she going to think? That kind of gets me all like, meh.
So it's not going to her.
No.
When you're writing it, it's not for
right.
her. You may choose to
right.
send one to her later, but when you're
right.
writing it, you're writing to the person that loves you.
Right. Right.
So you're always
yeah, and that just feels that feels easy.
Yeah.
And fun.
Yeah. So when in the future do you have the opportunity to work on your letter?
Well, probably this next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
probably
so
not before
when
that.
You consider that.
So I can I you know, kind of, you know, imagine myself in my favorite little coffee shop just, you know, writing this letter to my friend.
Yeah. How much easier is that?
How much easier would that be? A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, I can still sort of feel, you know, I can definitely feel that, you know, kind of open, warm, fuzzy.
Uh-huh. And so, and notice specifically where you feel that in your body.
I feel a lot in my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, all the way down into my belly.
Yeah, and you might want to just sort of bookmark that feeling, like that open, warm, and fuzzy feeling, because odds are you probably will have that when you start to think about your letter now.
Right.
But just in case you don't, you can remind yourself that, oh, right, I want to feel that warm, open, fuzzy connection feeling.
Right.
But, like, the more you attach those two together now, like, you think of the letter and you feel that warm feeling in your chest going down into your belly, the more attached you get them now, the easier it will happen, the more automatically it will happen the next time you think about it and have the opportunity to work on it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
I'm
even now,
kind of just
writing,
hanging out with it right now.
Yeah, so when you think about writing your letter, what do you notice?
It doesn't have the kind of angst that, you know, just feels like, right, why would this be a problem?
Yeah. Excellent.
You're just writing to Eileen, you know, she loves you.
Yes. Oh, that's great, Liz. Do you have any questions or anything? Feeling all
no,
right?
that's great.
Good.
That's very helpful.
Good. All right. Well, thank you so much.
No, thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you
all
later.
All right. Bye.
Okay, you are unmuted.
Hey, Shannon. It's Elizabeth.
Hey, Elizabeth, how are you?
Good. I'm having trouble finding a trigger for something, so.
Yeah?
You could help.
So what's the situation?
I think it's that when I think about transferring money from my savings to my account for however much.
Oops. You cut out.
I keep getting mute with my
cheek. Did you mute yourself with your cheek again?
I did. Okay. When I think about transferring money from my account, from my savings to my account for the amount that I'll need for the month, I feel uncomfortable is probably the best word that I can describe, that I can think of right now. But yes. And I know it's not the actual, because the choice is mindful, and when I do it, it's mindful, but whenever I think about doing it, so there's a period through the second half of the month where whenever the thought comes up, I start thinking about it, and then I start spiraling into the future and what ifs, and then I notice that keeps me from, it makes me avoid actually doing the thing, and so I put it off as long as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of mm-hmm. in the last moment when I need to, all because I've thought about it, and then it's gotten me panicky.
Right. And so then when you actually go to do it, you feel okay, but it's the thinking about it that's the problem?
Right. And a lot of the time I actually do feel, because it is a mindful choice, and I'm changing my relationship to money, and I do feel really good about it. It's just that, and maybe it's not even all the time, but a good chunk of the time when the thought crosses my mind, somehow it does end up spiraling me into lots of places that are not particularly enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the situation is that when you think about transferring your when you think about transferring money from your savings to your checking, I presume, you feel uncomfortable. And it can even lead to feeling panicky.
Yes, and I think actually the other feeling is, I think like a form of embarrassment or shame, because I'm thinking about what other people would think.
Hmm. Which, you know, it's always sort of interesting when you have those sorts of feelings when no one knows.
Right. And actually, that's probably the part that's a problem. It's because
one knows, or that shame part?
No, the shame part, because I think that's what gets me thinking about, so-and-so, they knew what I was doing, and then it gets me thinking about what they would think about the thing, and then I forget my center, and I'm off into their world.
Right. Oh, yeah, and then you're, like, so far gone that it's hard to come back. Like, you have to go distract yourself with something else.
Right.
Okay. So why is it important to you to what's the purpose in transferring money? Why does it matter to you?
Level is important because I do like to pay the bills.
Yeah.
But there's a bigger reason. I'm just trying to figure out what it.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if it, I'm just going to guide you a little bit since we're getting close to the end of the hour. I'm wondering if it has something to do with, like, financial sovereignty or being able to take care of yourself or...
Yes, a little bit of that and also a little bit of life sovereignty, I think.
Mm-hmm. So it's really about you taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
And being responsible for yourself.
Yes.
So, I mean, there are many reasons why it's important to you, and, like, your purpose in doing this is a pretty big one. That's really important to know. So now, when specifically does it happen? So you said that you, whenever you think about it. So what reminds you that it's time to think about transferring money? And there may be multiple things, but let's just work with one of them.
I think about it when I think about, rent is going to be due on such and such a day, have I made enough money to pay rent? If not, that's when I'll need to transfer money over.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I seem to think about rent occasionally. More often than I would actually need to.
And so when is it that you know, like you see the calendar, or what reminds you about the rent?
Yeah, I think it's the calendar and more thinking about the month and, oh, you know, we're getting into the last half of the month. And I think when the thought comes up, it's actually, oh, rent is going to come due. And then
mm-hmm.
So the thoughts themselves are fine. It's just that somehow then they trigger me thinking about this.
Right. Let me just pause here for a second and say to everyone who's still on the call, we're just about at noon, but I am happy to stay on the call beyond this, and we'll stay on the call to finish up with Elizabeth and then to answer any questions that anyone has. So if you have the availability to stay on the call, I invite you to do so. Okay, so it's back to you, Elizabeth. It's thinking that the rent is due, or the rent's going to be due soon, and then you start thinking about, you know, have I made enough money, and am I going to need to transfer from savings, and then that's when it goes bad. That starts you down the path.
Yes, although now that I'm thinking about it, I don't even know if that's, because I usually do know that I'm going to transfer a certain amount, like, I know whether or not I'm going to be transferring money over, and I generally have an idea of how much it's going to be. So I don't
mm-hmm.
think it's the rent. It might be more when I think about if certain people cross my mind, and it happens to be in the second half of the month, like late, I know I'm going to
uh-huh.
be transferring money, then that kind of starts. I think, oh,
okay.
You know, what do they think about this? And then that's what the problem is.
Okay, so it's a combination of timing and a particular person passing through your thoughts.
Right.
Okay, so that's the hard part. And like I said with Darcy, that finding out, like, when or what specifically makes this thought pattern happen is really the trickiest part. But we have that for you now. So how would you rather be in that situation? How would you rather be feeling, particularly in the second half of the month?
I would rather feel present and mindful and sovereign and joyful. And actually kind and compassionate.
And what was the last part?
Kind and compassionate.
Kind and compassionate.
Yes.
And I know that you know what all of those things feel like, maybe in different situations, but that you know what it feels like when you're present and mindful and sovereign and joyful and kind and compassionate. And can you start to feel all of those things now?
Yes.
And so as you're feeling them, it's the second half of the month, and that certain person comes through your mind. And what do you notice as you're feeling present and mindful and sovereign and joyful, kind and compassionate?
That they just pass through as a loving thought. Oh.
Yeah. How nice is that?
Oh, that's great.
And so then what happens when you consider that you'll be transferring money from savings into your checking account?
I'm excited. I like doing it. I'm making a choice. I like being responsible for myself and
uh-huh.
doing the things that I feel are the right things to do in light of that. So
there's no shame in that.
Right. How fascinating.
So I just want you to kind of fast forward to it's getting towards the end of January. And you are, you know, the middle of January. And you know your rent's due. And what do you notice?
I notice that I feel really excited because there are a million ways that I could pay rent, which may or may not have anything to do with transferring money, and I just need to come up with one.
Great. And then what happens if any of those certain people come through your mind?
I feel really, I think the thing that I notice is that generally what I think they're, I have no idea what they're thinking, and probably they do think some of the things that I think, but in general, I'm just projecting. So
yeah,
I could tell them something or I could not tell them something, and they would feel about it the way I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But either way,
How much more present are you when you're feeling like that?
Very present. Yeah, it feels really good.
Good. Good.
Well, thank you, Shannon. That helps in
many. You're welcome. Thank you. So we are just afternoon now, but anyone who has any other questions or wants to be guided, I would be happy to stay on the line and guide you through it or answer any questions. So just go ahead and raise your hand. And before we wrap up, I want to just check email one more time. Doesn't look like I have any questions there or any hands raised here on the call. So I will go ahead and wrap up, and I want to thank Darcy and Liz and Elizabeth for letting me guide them through this process. And I hope that it gave all of you the opportunity to see how and experience how you can use these four questions to coach yourself in a wide variety of situations. If you have any other questions about this, you can ask on the blog post about this particular topic at perceptionstudios.net or on the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/perceptionstudios.net. So I wish you all the best in the rest of the month, and hope that you are able to join me on our first call of 2013. Thanks so much.